And when the strife is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again and arms are strong. Alleluia, alleluia. Well, there's a segue. Happy 201st birthday, Christ Church Cathedral congregation. Happy birthday. It's hard to believe that at this time last year, we put on our party clothes and dined, danced, and celebrated our 200th birthday. We gathered in a packed cathedral to sing praises to the God who is always good and offer thanks for the brave hearts and strong faith of the saints before and now who have persistently trusted God's call and vision for this people who have been and are Christ Church and Christ Church Cathedral. Through war, famine, disease, threatening storms, injustice, Jim and Jane Crow, pestilence, protest, and every kind of challenge, here we are. We are in the midst of a pandemic, continuing injustices, economic insecurity, deep inequities, hurricanes, fires, all claiming loved ones across the country and the world. And yet here we are still, faithfully heading into our 202nd year. Our scripture readings for this All Saints Day show us God's identity and God's desire for the kingdom here and beyond. The glorious image in Revelation of a beautiful diversity of people from every nation joining the angels to gather around the throne of God brought tears to my eyes this year as we mourn the deaths of loved ones in these days. Our loved ones will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun shall not strike them or any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the hope in the midst of the surrounding chapters of Revelation, filled with what are familiar realities in our day, battles, anger, struggles, alongside God's vengeance and admonitions to the faithful. Revelation was written to be read in its entirety so the hearers could be reminded that we come to the hope revealed in today's little portion by our faithfulness to our God first and not to the leaders of this world. The readers and hearers are reminded of Christ's challenge in Matthew 25, 31 through 46, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick, welcome the stranger, and visit those in prison. When God talks of participation of the faithful in perpetual worship, we are to include in this these things and faithful efforts to end violence, world hunger, injustice, racism, eradicate global poverty, and combat climate change. Revelation brings themes of this perpetual worship and social justice, and integrates the dynamic of simultaneous anticipation of this better world God promises, and our faithful work toward such hope right here in this world now. The author of 1 John urges his readers to embrace a right understanding of how this desire of God for our world is lived out and taught in Jesus, as we are urged to do as Jesus did in all these things, always supporting each other in the love that comes from God, who is love. For 1 John, those who live in God's hope through faith strive to be like Christ, like God, and therefore strive in all things to live ethical, pure, and loving lives. In this short three sentences, we have a good working definition of saints: those who are children of God. As we remember famous saints and our own beloved saints this day, we are pushed by our scriptures to consider the sainthood of those who are still living, of you, of me. What does it mean to us to be children of God? What does it call forth from us? The designation is not one that we have achieved on our own. It is a gift from a loving God. As commentator Alvin Padilla writes, it describes our state, who we are, and it also provides us with a future goal, who we are to become. Our readings today present us with expanding visions of the saints, of the children of God. Revelation describes what can be, should we live faithfully and ethically. 1 John 3 focuses on community, communal care, and love. Moving into Matthew 5, our vision enlarges to include various classes of people in society: the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the hungry and thirsty. And we come back to Revelation's description of countless multitudes from every nation and people praising God and the Lamb together. And there are the Beatitudes. These announce a reversal of what the world's values provide a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven in comparison to the upside down ethics of our present world. These precious words introducing Jesus' Sermon on the Mount give us Jesus' vision of the kingdom of God. They give us Jesus' politics. These are the words we should carry in the streets, take into the voting booth, and say over and over to our legislators and live into day by day. Because, my friends, when they are true, we will have brought God's desire, Jesus' vision, to our world, and we cannot stop striving until it is so. As we look at our current society, not much has changed with how we measure success, happiness, power, privilege, and prosperity. Our measures are the very opposite of what Jesus' vision was and is. People still value power over weakness, possessions over sharing, and investment accounts over investment in God's beloved community. What brings blessing to life and hope to humanity is to live out the values and justice of God's end time vision, to live into the hope that the Beatitudes announced to an audience with very little of what the world then and now values. And yet we're filled with faith and now the hope of blessing. Comfort, justice, equity, and mercy will finally be attained by those who live and walk in accordance to the values of the kingdom of heaven. Such is the challenge of the scriptures, of the Beatitudes in our day, dear ones of faith, to strive to live a life worthy of the coming kingdom of God, regardless of earthly reward. When we align our vision with God's, we are formed and shaped more and more by God's purposes. Theologians Dorothy Bass and Craig Dykstra suggest that participating in faith-filled practices of justice, compassion, mercy, hospitality, love, and acts that enhance the well-being of creation change the being and knowing in our very hearts over time. We begin to value what God values, and the world changes bit by bit by bit into the kingdom of love, hope, and equity God has envisioned all along. The Greek word often translated righteousness can also be translated justice. In this light, verse 6 could read, "Blessed is the one whose vision has aligned with God's own and works to make wrongs right." Then this blessing now includes the lawyer working tirelessly to free someone on death row wrongly accused. The social worker who works to get the mental health care desperately needed by so many marginalized and forgotten persons on our streets. The quarantined 85-year-old calling their legislators day after day after day and urging them to vote forward stronger gun laws and health care bills. As Amy Moiso writes, the Beatitudes convey poignant longing that what was wrong will be made right, that those who have suffered will be uplifted, that mercy and peacemaking truly will cure the warring madness of God's children, and that all will find themselves children of God. As many before us at Christ Church Cathedral have followed in faith and toiled, pledged, marched, written, preached, called, acted, and prayed unceasingly to bend the arc toward justice, so do we. Our continued passion for that faithful mission shows the community around us that God is here. God is already and always at work among us, prodding, calling, and always encouraging us toward gracious, divine love. But lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. The King of glory passes on his way. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen and amen and amen.